Hey everyone, Natalie here from The Pendulum's Path. If you need guidance, direction, spiritual connection, or more, then listen up. I have worked as a psychic and a medium for over 3 years, connecting people from all over the world with their loved ones in spirit, giving them insight and guidance into their current situations, the past healings that need to be worked on, and what it is they need to know today in order to have a better future. It would be my absolute honor if you would visit my website at www.thependulumspath.com. I also offer emailed readings for those with busy schedules too. Also, for you goblins who subscribe to the Esoteric Book Club, I have a special coupon code just for you. Enter the code STAYWEIRD to get $5 off of any order of $25 or more. Hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Coe.
And I'm Stephen Hawk.
And we're the host of the Cosmic Sponge Podcast, where we explore the unknown from UFOs and cryptids to unexplained disappearances and ancient mysteries.
If you're looking for strange stories that will keep you on the edge of your seat, jump on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or search for Cosmic Sponge on your favorite listening platform.
Head on over to our website at www.cosmicsponge.com to get access to all of our content, including a full list of platforms where you can enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Esoteric Footnotes.
Welcome back, goblins! Before we get started tonight, I want to take a moment to thank the members of the Esoteric Archive, specifically Annie K, Soul Rising Studios, and Grand Inquisitor Samantha. I couldn't do this without your help. If you too would like to support the show and become a member of the Esoteric Archive, you can do so at patreon.com/esotericbookclub. Your contributions help pay for server cost, purchase reading material, and helps to maintain a steady supply of kitty litter for my sphinx.
I really wish it would stop asking me riddles every time I enter the room.
Once again, that is patreon.com/esotericbookclub. Now, let's get weird. This all began when I was on Facebook the other day, reading through a forum on regional Appalachian folk magic. One of the commenters on there had left a post saying, "I tried to cast this spell and it didn't work, so I'm looking for alternatives. Does anyone else have a spell that I could try?" There were quite a few responses. Many people were trying to be helpful and offering other suggestions, other spells, other options for them. After reading through most of the replies, it occurred to me, if that first spell didn't work, what's the likelihood of these other spells working for this person? So I replied, "Do you know why the spell didn't work?" After a few minutes, I got a reply back from the original poster saying, "No." So I replied again, "Well, how many times did you try this spell?" Their answer was, "Once, and it didn't work, so I didn't do it again." "Okay, well, if you were going to try it again, what would you change?" "Well, I don't know." At any point did you reflect upon the steps that you took to help identify or isolate an area where this spell may have gone wrong? Well, no. So if you don't know why this spell didn't work, why do you believe that a different spell would have better chances of success? Because it's a different spell? Okay, so instead of scrapping the spell entirely and having to go out to get new materials for different components, why don't you examine what you've already done, try to isolate what may have happened, and make modifications in order to make the spell more effective? I want to make it very clear that I am not recounting this story to make fun of the poster. I am recounting this story because it is something that I see that is fairly common in the magical community. And I think it stems from witch talk and baby witches and the fact that they are making attempts without having any sort of instruction. It's this need for instant gratification that we've all come to acquire from being in the digital age. There's no introspection as a result of the process. There's no reflection. There's no looking back saying, okay, what worked and what didn't. There's no attempt to make a focused effort. Instead, it's just about quantity over quality. You just keep doing things until something finally works. It's a lot of effort for very minimal results. More importantly, you're not really learning anything. Sure, you're doing a lot of things over and over and over again, and there's lots of repetition. And repetition is a good way to practice. But if you're practicing something incorrectly, are you really making any progress? Which leads me to my proposal. A proposal that may seem like blasphemy in the magical community. I suggest that we approach spellcraft as a science. I'm not suggesting we do things in a lab setting with monitors and electrodes and beakers, and although that does sound fun, but we need to approach spellcraft using the scientific method. Most of us probably haven't even thought of the scientific method since grade school, really. In fact, I had to go back and look up the details on the scientific method in order to record this episode. The scientific method is a series of 7 steps that allows us to examine the world around us. The scientific method was outlined by Francis Bacon in the 1600s, although he had about 1,000 years of influence leading up to this. In fact, scientific observation goes all the way back to Greek philosophy and Aristotle. In Aristotle's time, it was believed that rationality was the best way to learn about the world around us. Basically, if you could think hard enough, you could figure everything out. The problem was that people were trying to rationalize things that they had never directly observed. They were even trying to rationalize super common things where they could just step outside their home and watch something. They just didn't do it. Imagine trying to explain how a bird flies without actually watching a bird fly. I'm sure you could come up with some great theories, but if you don't know anything about their physiology, they remain just theories. So Aristotle came up with this wild idea. Instead of making a hypothesis without guessing as to why something happens, why don't we take a moment to just stop and observe? Let's watch the phenomena and see what we can learn through that. Needless to say, this did not make him popular with his peers. This concept that Aristotle came up with was known as tabula rasa, the blank slate. The idea is very simple. If you knew absolutely nothing, everything that you learn would come directly from observation. Using our example, what allows a bird to fly? If you follow Aristotle's method, you'll observe the bird and notice that it has feathers. It also flaps its wings very quickly. If you combine those two attributes, you can't exactly explain how they fly, but you get a pretty good idea as to why they are able to. In all fairness, the ancient Greeks also believed that if humans had feathers, they could also fly. I never said that Aristotle's method was foolproof. Jump forward a few hundred years, and most of this philosophy had been forgotten. At least, until the Islamic Golden Age of science. This time period saw the translation and transcription of hundreds of thousands of texts, scrolls, and books. And these translations were wildly popular. They were so wildly popular that even European monarchs were having these Islamic texts translated into French and eventually into English. The next person in our step towards understanding the scientific method is a monk named Roger Bacon, who is in no way related to Francis Bacon, I guess in the late Middle Ages being named after a delectable pork dish was kind of in vogue. So Brother Bacon, which that is a fantastic name, is in favor of experimental science. More importantly, he's in favor of experimental science that can be repeated by other people. Finally, we come to Francis Bacon, who took everything that Brother Bacon and Aristotle came up with, mashed it all together with some of the translations of Islamic texts, and he came up with the 7 steps of the scientific method. He recorded this in 1620 in his work The Novum Organum, or the new organism, and these steps are still in use today. So the 7 steps are as follows. First, you have to make an observation. You have to notice something that makes you go, hmm. After that, you move to step 2, in which you ask a question about what you just observed. And if we jump over to English class real quick, we are looking at who, what, when, where, why, or how. Once you know what you're asking, it's time to do a little bit of research. See if there's any answers that have already been established. See if there's other information that may help you answer that question. Once you've done your research, it's time to propose a hypothesis. An idea of what you think may actually be going on behind the scenes. Once you have that, it's time for the fun part. Now you get to experiment. You get to try and test out anything that you came up with in your research. At this stage, you want to make sure that you keep very, very detailed notes, because this is where your information is going to come for the next stage. Now you take a look at all the information you gathered, all the detailed notes you took from your experiments, and you come to a conclusion about that initial question that you previously asked. Most people give up at this stage. They think, okay, I have a conclusion. That's good enough. But the most important part of the scientific method is stage 7. Repeat the experiment. You want to make sure that there wasn't some outside variable that was affecting the experiment, something that you didn't account for. If you can repeat the experiment and get the same results, then you know your conclusion is correct. So let's take a look at how we could use the scientific method as applied to spellcraft. Let's say you are in a bit of a financial bind and you decided to do a money spell. At the conclusion of the spell, you find out that you are, in fact, more in debt than when you began. Something just didn't work. Luckily, you kept pretty good notes the first time you did the spell. So it's very easy for you to look back and say, what part of my spell failed in the casting? This is where you dissect your spell and look for reasons as to why something happened. Or, in this case, why something didn't happen. Could it be the components of your spell? Could it be your lack of focus? Could you have been focused on the wrong thing? Could there have been conflicting aspects of your components? Could it have simply been the timing of the spell? Would it be better to do this on a different day or a different month? In this instance, I hypothesized that the problem was the iron pyrite, and that it should be substituted for real gold. Because gold has value. Iron pyrite, well, it's called fool's gold for a reason. Now that we have an idea of how to proceed, we track down a piece of gold. In this case, we're going to go get Grandma's old gold ring that she had left to you. We are going to replace the iron pyrite with that gold ring. For the experiment step, we are going to repeat the spell, but we're going to replace the components based on our hypothesis. Now, because this is spellcraft and not scientific experimentation, we have to define a length of time in which we are going to give the spell a chance to work. If we get results within that time period, we can conclude that it may be a result of our spell. In this case, we wait for 2 weeks. Now, we don't necessarily get any more money, but we stop losing money. So that possibly shows that we could be getting some sort of result from this. So our conclusion is that gold has a better result than iron pyrite in this spell. But did the spell necessarily work? In this case, we didn't gain any extra money. So by definition, no, the spell didn't work. But we did have better results than when we previously used it. So guess what that means? That means it's time to start the entire process over again. The final step of this is to repeat it, based on new observations and new information. The new observation is that the spell didn't work, but it did work better. So the question becomes, what made this work better than previous use, and what can we do to improve that in the future? Since we got improved results using actual gold, we have to consider that that may be the source. Perhaps the ring was a low carat gold. Maybe a higher carat would work better. Conversely, it could just be the quantity of gold. Maybe if you increase the quantity of gold used, that will increase the effect. So now that you have a few ideas, it's time once again to experiment. I think by now you have an understanding of how the scientific method can be used for magic. Just remember to keep good notes, record your process, and take time for observation. The Esoteric Book Club can be found on Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, and at esotericbookclub.org. If you want to get a hold of me, you can find me through one of those platforms, or you could send me an email at jason@esotericbookclub.org. Intro music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod Music and is from the song Sneaky Snitch. Detailed information can be found in the show notes. So until next time, remember, with a little bit of practice, you too can do scientific spellcraft.
Hi, Techie Joe here. I work with Ace and Knight, some of the best psychics in West Virginia, to create amazing live streams and podcasts for the Psychic Coffee Shop Network. Together, we brew up great content discussing news, events, hot topics, and more, all from a psychic perspective. On the Psychic Coffee Shop, we interview amazing authors in the metaphysical realm. Coffee and Tea combines Asen with Tracy, Dottie, Natalie, or Lady Gwendolyn for the good and the bad of being a psychic. Shameless Self-Promotion with Dottie the Psychic talks to leading and emerging YouTubers and business owners in our community. Mountain Bears brings you the latest in LGBT news and politics. The Psychic That Plans answers the question of, well, how a psychic plans. Plus, we're live on air. We take your comments and your questions, including psychic advice questions. Check out our amazing programming, book an appointment with top psychics, and find out all the wonderful things we have to offer at PCSBnetwork.com today.